Stay tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM, for 2.5 hours of civil rights in your face. It's Bathrooms, Piers, Broadsides, January 21st, 2001 edition. And we are thinking of a new theme song, so hey, help us, stay with us. We'll begin with the old theme song and switch into the potential new theme song. We want your view on which song to use.
Present raises the question, who wants a
band?
The homeless are a problem for only one reason. Our present raises the question, who wants a
band?
Who owns the land? Who owns the land? Who owns the land? Could it be 90 million dead Indians? Who owns the land? Could it be 6 million Jews? Who owns the land? Is there a connection? Who owns the land? To our imperialism? Who owns the land? Won't someone please tell me? Who owns the land? I am just a white man. Who owns the land? I live in the Americas. Who owns the land? How did I get here? This morning, I was awoken by a man with a handgun. He's got a book of rules that says I ain't got no right to sleep. This morning, I was awoken by a man with a handgun. He's got a book of rules that says I ain't got no right to be. Who owns the land? Who owns the land? Who owns the land? Could it be that there's a connection? Who owns the land?
Watergate, punk rock, Bacon, Reagan, Palestine, terror on the airline, Ayatollahs in Iran, Russians in Afghanistan, Wheel of Fortune, Sally Ride, heavy metal, suicide, foreign debt.
And listeners, the choice is yours. Are we to continue with Billy Joel's We Didn't Start the Fire, or should we switch after many years with that fine Billy Joel number to 15's Land song? Who owns the land? Your opinions, 427-3772. Give us a call, and hey, we got lots coming up on today's show. Looks like we even got a phone call at the very beginning. Excellent.
Hi, you're on Free Radio.
Hey, baby doll, what's happening?
Hey, how you doing there, Merlin?
You know the song I want to hear.
Well, you want to hear about the hobo, man.
Ball of Confusion by The Temptations.
No, you want to hear that. Okay. Yeah. I know you gave us that hobo song, but have you heard the of those two you
no,
just
no, no,
heard?
The hobo song, that was by Rod Stewart.
Yeah.
Did you play that?
Just a hobo. I have not been able to get a really good enough copy to play. I know you generously left me a version on the answering machine, but it really it wasn't quite airworthy. Much of what we play isn't airworthy, but...
Is it The Temptations song?
Temptations song.
Ball of Confusion?
Moral Confusion?
Ball of Confusion.
Ball of Confusion?
Yeah.
Oh.
You know, it's an old 60s song. It's pretty appropriate for everything they're singing about today.
Aha, so you have a third suggestion for our fine show here. Right?
Yeah.
Well, hey, maybe if you get the tape to me, I can try to... I can certainly listen to it. Any other thoughts on this?
Yeah, there is another thought here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a different theme song for every show.
Aha. Uh-huh. Well, I used to do that, you know, in the early days of the program, but then I decided it would be kind of a matter of continuity. It was good to have the same theme song, probably just trying to train people to know how to quickly turn away from the show, you see. When they hear that music coming on, they can turn to another station.
Well, you know, I played a lot of songs over the phone, and if you want, I'll call back and play a Ball Confusion and a Hobo song.
Well, we could do that at some point, but let's do that at another point, because I am rolling with a lot of packed stuff on the show today.
Okay.
Hey, but thank you for the suggestion, Merlin, and I would be interested in hearing those songs later, maybe even playing them, although I don't know if playing them through the phone is such a hot idea, because it's a little, you know, we lose quality. But let's talk more, and thanks for the suggestion.
All right.
All righty.
Bye.
Bye-bye. And you are tuned to Free Radio, of course, 96.3 FM. I'm your host, Robert North, or Bathrobes Pierre Robert, as I sometimes call myself, as I lurk around in a bathrobe, terrorizing city officials with my teddy bear. We have an incoming call here. Hi there, you're on Free Radio.
Since when are you concerned with quality?
Hey, man, quality and quantity, both. I mean, and length. Length is strength.
Well, I was thinking, what about Kill the Poor by the Dead Kennedys?
Kill the Poor. Now, aren't they kind of an atonal kind of group there?
No, it's Jello Biafra. You know,
hey, you know, maybe we could have you do... Actually, I would prefer having you or Phil Free. You're a local musician. Do one of your songs about, sleeping on the mayor's lawn, perhaps?
Just kidding. There you go.
Just kidding. Could be.
I think there's a few tapes still floating around there. There might be one at
I thought we burned all the Just Kidding tapes.
I saw one at the thrift store not too long ago.
Well, I think that we got to do something about them Just Kidding tapes floating around town.
Maybe they'll do a big comeback tour.
That could be. I would like to see them on the mall. I mean, I remember when they were making terrorist threats downtown with their songs about shoplifting and things of that sort.
Yeah. They're disgusting.
They are.
Where's Tipper Gore when you need her? And, oh, she's not around anymore.
Well, you know, it could be that Bush would take her on as an unofficial advisor, you know.
I mean, yeah.
It isn't...
Well, I like the 15 song, if you're picking those two.
Okay, we got one vote for, I guess it's called Land.
We did get a call from EMI, who owns Billy Joel's records, and he said they're going to sue you.
Oh, great, man. Well, I'm
copyright infringement.
Hey, Free Radio's going to back me up on this one. I know it, man.
Oh, yeah, with all our lawyers.
Yeah, you got it. Hey,
all right.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye. And that was Skidmark Bob. Skidmark has his own show, but of course somebody has torn down the Free Radio schedule, so I can't see where it is. Thank you. Perhaps if you leave another incoming call, perhaps that will give us that information. Hi, you're on Free Radio.
Yes, this is a new service of Free Radio Santa Cruz called Dial a Schedule Update.
Oh, excellent.
And Skidmark Bob is on numerous times during the week. And his show is on Tuesday at 1:30 following Democracy Now, and that's called The Maintenance Show, and then also on Friday evenings at 9 o'clock, Independent Landscapes and Soiled Underwear.
We'd like to thank you for that update. And what about you, sir? Do you have any opinions as to which of those two songs you found most appealing?
Well, as a matter of fact, that's exactly why I called in, Robert, because there's actually another theme song to your show that you may not be aware of. It's sort of an unspoken... hidden theme song that we've kind of attempted to keep up to date for the last 4 years or so, since back in the day, 97, I think, when you started doing the Sunday show. And I personally would prefer to hear that one. It's called Media Whore, and it's by, I can't remember the name of the band right now.
But do you have that? Perhaps you could cue
it
up.
It's in the studio. The band, I can't remember the name of the band, but it's the perfect song for your program.
Media Whore.
Media Whore.
Well,
yeah.
That's very flattering, Vinny. I appreciate that.
So that's my vote.
Well, thank you.
Okay,
all
bye.
Right. I really like the way that the collective members get behind the programmers. I mean, you know, some stations there's all this bickering and rivalry and kind of backbiting, but here at Free Radio Santa Cruz, we are just a collective group that's solid behind each other, no questions asked. You yourself, of course, or whoever you are out there, should feel free to express your opinion, whatever it is. If you are in opposition, if you are in solidarity, if you don't give a damn, whatever. The phone number is 427-3772. Here is another call. Boy, this is a first. Four calls in 2 minutes.
Hi there, Free Radio.
Hello.
Hi. So, this sounds like, could this be Steve Argue?
This is.
Aha! Well, Steve, have you been listening to the opening show and the question of the day as to which theme song should be the theme song to be played?
Yeah.
What do you think?
I think Dancing on the Ruins of International Corporations.
I see. So you have yet another suggestion.
Right.
Aha. Uh-huh. So here we are at the Chinese restaurant, and you're suggesting that we serve roast beef sandwiches, eh?
Exactly.
I see. Well, actually, now that we have you on the phone, Steve, I wonder if you you probably updated. I guess you missed your show yesterday, right? Because you were up in San Francisco.
Yeah.
Maybe you can give us an update, because I received this strange call from you the other night that you had been picked up by the, was it the Oakland police?
No, it was the San Francisco police.
And was this for another one of your rapes, murders, and terrorist threats?
Well, they called it terrorist threats until they dropped it.
And what exactly did they claim you were threatening?
Well, let me tell you the background on it.
Sure.
I was up in Oakland for my lawsuit against the Santa Cruz police for arresting me for selling Street Spirit newspaper and the Industrial Worker back 2 years ago, an activity that is not illegal. And I was there with my lawyer. We had a mediator. The mediator was the city attorney for the city of Oakland, and then the city attorney of Santa Cruz was there, along with the cops that I'm suing. And we went through this mediation process that went nowhere, and eventually the meeting was over. I got on the BART. I went over to San Francisco, and I met up with a friend at the 4th Street Pub, and was there hanging out. And suddenly, seven cops came in and arrested me.
Seven cops.
And the claim was that they got a phone call from someone saying that they heard me saying that for the protest, yesterday's protest, the counter-inauguration protest, I had said that I had Molotov cocktails and I was planning on blowing the police up there.
And in fact, you were just having an ordinary cocktail in a bar.
Well, actually, I'm not. No, I didn't have any cocktails. But
yes.
Anyway, no, cocktails never even came up, and I said nothing of the kind whatsoever. I figure what must have happened. I don't know for sure, but this is my theory on it. Someone may have followed me from this Oakland meeting, connected with the police somehow, and made this call. And so I get anyway. I got arrested by the San Francisco police. They held me for 3 hours. They came into my cell. They said that they were going to charge me with terrorist threats, which is also very serious for me, with 3 years hanging over my head, 3 years of prison time.
That's a probation you got. You got that probation for defending a woman and her child on May 22nd, 1999, at a legal protest that was in essence broken up by the police, right?
Right. And the Citizens Police Review Board has even ruled now that excessive force was used against that woman that endangered the child, which is what I've been saying all along.
That officer David LaFavor, who you punched in order to stop his mistreatment of the woman, was in fact using excessive force on the woman, Julianne, and then later used excessive force on you in terms of pepper spraying you?
Yeah, pepper spraying me and also excessive force against me. And so, yeah, so he came in, this cop came in, said that that I was being charged with terrorist threats, and, you know, I said something. He said, well, you can deal with that with your lawyer in the morning or what. I don't remember exactly. But then he left. He came back in about 2 minutes later, and he said, I just got a call from my superior who told me to release you. And I got released after being held for 3 hours.
Without a charge?
Without a charge, and they gave me a slip of paper saying that I was detained for 3 hours and not charged.
Detained. That's a nice way of putting it. Were you handcuffed?
I was handcuffed, yeah.
It was in fact, a formal custodial arrest.
Right. And the, you know, while I was in there, the police refused to let me go to the bathroom. They came by. They were giving me the finger all the time. They were saying, Fry Mumia. Of course, I was chanting the whole time, smash the police state. I'm sure they were tired of hearing me.
Did you meet any other prisoners on this journey?
There was one other in there. I asked him to call people. I don't know if he did. Then he was taken out of the cell I was in pretty quickly. There was a woman being held outside, and I don't know what she was being held for. She was crying. She looked underage.
When did they arrest you, Steve? About what time? What time of day did they pick you up?
It says on the slip. Actually, I'm not sure. I think it was somewhere right around 7 o'clock.
And so they released you around 10 or 10:30.
Right. Yeah. Because Yeah, I remember, because I remember getting to a payphone to call a friend to stay the night right around 11 o'clock.
So this is a false arrest by the San Francisco Police Department. Is this going to imperil your probation here? I mean, I know with probation, police contact itself is considered to be some kind of a...
Well, the slip that they filled out for me clearly states that it's not considered an arrest.
So you think you're okay there?
Yeah, I think I'm fine. What I have to deal with here, though, is the jaywalking ticket I just got recently.
Uh-oh, now what's that about?
Well, I was crossing on a green light, and I crossed Ocean Street. It was a green light, and I walked up about two blocks. Cop pulled up. She got out of her car. She says, first thing she says is, "Mr. Argue, was there a reason you crossed that street on a red?" And I said, "It wasn't red, it was green." "Oh no, Mr. Argue, that was a red light."
You know the officer's name?
I have it. I've got it written down. I don't have it immediately available.
Mm-hmm. And how long ago was this?
A couple weeks ago. So I got to deal with it pretty soon.
I see. So you are a confirmed jaywalker, and
this is the fourth time I've been stopped by the Santa Cruz police for jaywalking.
Well, obviously they're simply trying to improve your walking technique.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear that they're trying to upgrade the city that way.
Right.
No dogs on the mall.
Very concerned about me.
No argues in the Santa Cruz.
Right. No argues crossing streets.
Right. Well, you don't have to cross streets. You can stay on one block. Do the Robert Steffen thing downtown.
Right, right.
You could live in a bag, Brett.
No thanks.
Well, let me ask you this. I know that that's sort of the dramatic part of your trip north was this false arrest by the San Francisco police. But what happened? More interesting to me, I guess, in another sense, or as interesting, is your interview, your mediation attempt. This is a thing that kind of precedes the formal. Presentation of evidence at a federal civil trial? Is that what the story is?
Right.
And you, of course, were selling a street newspaper in November, the day after you had appeared with, interestingly enough, council members Crone and Sugar in their radical wild days when they actually had something to say about police abuse at the town clock in a Stolen Lives ceremony, and also a concern about the shooting of Happy John Dine, our local homeless activist who was killed by Officer Connor Carey in a whole incident that was covered up by the police department, the DA, and the Citizens Police Review Board. And you were then accosted by Officer Garner, who demanded you stop selling the newspaper. You essentially told him to let you alone and to continue what you were doing. And he and Officer Malate dragged you down to the sidewalk, is it fair to call it a brutal assault? Am I exaggerating? Or?
Well, they tackled me down for no reason, mm-hmm. and that's kind of brutal. And then I continued announcing to the growing crowd around that I was being arrested for selling newspapers. And while I was on the ground, I did that while in handcuffs. I put my head up and said, "I'm being arrested for selling newspapers again." And something hit me in the back of my head. According to an eyewitness, it was Officer Garner's knee. And it shoved my face into the pavement, and even according to the police report, it says I had a 2.5-inch gash across my forehead from that, and then I also had injuries to my wrists as well from the handcuffs being too tight.
I know then you had a problem in the jail where you were assaulted by deputies, and then you were released again with no charges, 4 days later?
4 days later, yeah.
And I know that we took this complaint to the CPRB, and the interesting thing about it to me was that the police chief made a continued misstatements in public correspondence and discussion on this issue, claiming that you were arrested, in essence, for obstructing the sidewalk, that was the reason they were approaching you.
The city attorney seems to be dropping that now and going back to the original charge, trying to defend the original charge as being justified, that saying at this meeting on Friday that selling newspapers is not legal, the provision of the ordinance where it says that says it is legal, he says it isn't, because in that section it's only about displaying merchandise. There it says displaying merchandise, you need a business permit for, except for in the case of newspapers. So what he's claiming now is that does not cover selling it, though. It only covers displaying it.
rather thin argument, considering he wrote a letter apologizing to a previous Street Spirit salesperson, Anthony Douglas, 2 months before your arrest in September of 1998, and has ever since. The police have generally been very, very careful not to harass Street Spirit vendors for selling papers. If selling papers is illegal, then the police have been allowing numerous people to engage in illegal acts regularly for the last 2 years.
Yeah.
So it looks like, I'm afraid, John Barisoni, my opinion of John continues to plummet. Unfortunately, he's the city attorney. I wish he got an honest job.
Actually, it was not Barisoni here.
Oh, good point. George Kovacevic, right?
Yeah, George Kovacevic, who prosecuted Jerry Henry.
Yeah, I apologize to John if he's listening, which is highly unlikely. George Kovacevic was a judge briefly for a period of time between his stints in the DA's office, and he hit a new low in court this last fall when he went after a youth minister who had been advising people in the Aptos Rancho Del Mar shopping center of their rights to be allowed to be in public spaces and not to be bullied by deputies and security guards and PSI local wannabe cops, what they call them, I guess they're security guards. And he was then, eventually he was enjoined, given an injunction not too dissimilar to the one that was served on three of us, requiring him to stay out of the Aptos Shopping Center, at least half of it. And he had a whole long jury trial, and he's appealing that in court. But George Kovacevic, the man who apparently is taking your case and representing the city in this, you know, this bizarre position. I don't know how he
representing our Green Party mayor Fitzmaurice.
Yeah, it's Green Party owned. Tim, or I mean, kind of as I said, Tim is looking more yellow puce these days than green. I mean, they seem like a cheap shot to call him a yellow mayor, that is to say, a cowardly person. But I think that attacking activists, misrepresenting police behavior, not defending the rights of homeless people and not keeping your campaign commitments is a form of political cowardice. I don't know if we call it moral cowardice, but it's certainly political cowardice. And I think using the phrase yellow here is accurate. I mean, I don't know. Anyway, so I'm sorry to even bring that up. But so how long was your session with George Kovacevic?
Oh, it seemed very long. Let's see, what was it? It was till about 2 p.m., I think.
Mm-hmm. So it started in the morning and went for 2 or 3 hours?
Yeah, it started at 10.
Now, I know that the city, interestingly enough, can afford getting transcripts of all these things, but these would cost you, I guess you can get a transcript from the city free, or you can look at a transcript of this, but you can't go in and ask Officer Garner to sit down and do long declarations, because you'd have to pay hundreds and hundreds of dollars for that, right?
Yeah, well, yeah, there was a part of the process in suing them. I was forced to go in and do a long deposition with Kovacevic a few weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And, I don't know what the process would be to do the same to Garner.
You're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM, and we're listening to activist, former city council candidate, and a former jailbird, I should say inappropriately jailed jailbird, Steve Argue, who is continuing to be an activist. I guess you're with the Peace and Freedom Party these days?
Peace and Freedom Party, and I plan on getting more active now. Now I have a place to stay and stable income and everything going. I took a little break after the city council elections were over. So
mm-hmm.
So now, I'll probably be doing a lot on the, I think, Mumia Abu's Jamal case. His case, I think, is at a very critical stage right now.
Mm-hmm.
Where some sort of decision is going to be happening soon. So I'm going to get active in events coming up on that, and also on promoting the Peace and Freedom Party as a socialist alternative to the Democrats and Republicans.
Now, for people who are more interested in learning more about your case, I guess they can give a call. Certainly anything on this show, you give a call to 423-HUFF. HUFF 423-4833, and we'll try to give you more information. But do you want to give out your voicemail on the air for people to contact you if they want to be helpful, either in, let's say, supporting your case financially, or passing on information about police misconduct they may have witnessed, or
sure,
just asking questions?
Sure. Yeah. My voicemail number is 457-9754. Extension 1169.
That's 457-9754, extension 1169. Hey, thank you for calling in. And boy, seven cops. They must think you're quite a guy up there in San Francisco, huh? Were these all beefy male cops?
Were they mixed race cops? What was the?
Well, yeah, yeah.
So you actually, it was sort of a task force that was sent in to deal with you, just in case you say...
Just in case I happen to have some Molotov cocktails then, I guess.
Or made a terrorist threat. That could be pretty dangerous.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, thank you for calling, Steve, and
right.
Call again.
All right, thank you for your show.
All right.
Bye.
And phone lines are finally open. I'm glad, though, that we spent the time we just did on Steve Argue. He is a committed person of principle who not only is willing to take the fall to protect a woman and a child, he stays, he takes his medicine, and then he fights later to vindicate not just himself, but to vindicate the issue, to make it clear what happened truthfully in a situation. We have quite a contrast, for example, with the Citizens Police Review Board, which the questions of excessive force by these officers who essentially shut down the May 22nd protest when they arrested what at least the employee who made the original charge of disturbing the peace said was the wrong woman, Go Ling Liao, back in May of 1999, where people were protesting the bombing of Yugoslavia, and she was accused of sticking a boombox through the door of a Democratic Party fundraiser, a fancy dinner supporting then-President Clinton. Representative Farr was in there. So Steve intervened to stop the police from to stop David LeFevre, who apparently went right for the woman and the child, to grab her and forcibly manhandle her in a fashion that made it appear to some, and to some even watching the video, that the child that she had in her arms was perilously close to falling out of her arms because of this brutal assault by Officer LeFevre, who has since left the force under cloudy circumstances. And the reason I say Steve pursues the truth, whereas the Citizens Police Review Board does not, is that we never saw any members of the Citizens Police Review Board or the City Council stand up and talk about or demand information as to why LeFevre actually left. In fact, the cover story is that he went to another city because he just preferred to move on. The skivvy, and again, it's secondhand, and I can't vouch for it, but what I hear is that he was told either get out or we're going to have to fire you, resign voluntarily or leave. Now, who knows? And honestly speaking, that's all I know about the matter, but certainly we should know whether the police chief made a decision on that, and certainly the decision is now coming out that this was excessive force, and I think that should follow Officer LeFevre to his East Bay Police Department where he currently is. I'm not sure if it's Walnut Creek or Concord or Fremont or I'm not sure where it is, but the idea of these bad cops moving from jurisdiction to jurisdiction is, of course, very dangerous for the public. And we need a responsible police department that deals with that whole thing. And in fact, some of what we're going to be talking about on Free Radio today has to do with police misconduct. I had several guests who I'd hoped would be coming in, at least folks who said they wanted to be on the air. Several of them were witnesses to an incident involving Sergeant Butchie Baker on Friday on downtown on Pacific Avenue. I didn't witness this incident. I did speak to two individuals who did. I don't have the woman who witnessed the part of the incident who was going to come in and talk to me, but I do have a tape of hers. I'm going to be playing that later. And I'm also going to be talking about police misconduct quite a bit. So for those of you who have had some recent or even distant experiences with Santa Cruz police misconduct or police misconduct in other jurisdictions, and you feel it's appropriate to air that publicly, please do, because I think I'm not interested in smearing any police departments. I'm not interested in false criticism or sort of malicious fictions about the police. I am interested in real community control of the police department, and I'm interested in seeing that abuses that the police department has engaged in, ranging up to murder in numerous jurisdictions. There are some witnesses who saw the Happy John Dine case of 1997 called Officer Connor Carey a murderer. I didn't take that position at the time because I didn't have enough information and I wasn't a witness to the case, but it certainly was a cover-up what happened in that case, and it certainly should have been reopened by the LEF, Citizens Police Review Board, which has done essentially nothing at all during its regime, except I would suppose this $10,000 closed classified independent investigation, which I suppose, prompted the police department to have to respond massively with its own information or misinformation. I think they gave five or six volumes to the one volume that independent investigator Diane Christensen gave on the this May 22nd, 1999 case of the Yugoslavia bombing protest and the conduct of the police there. And what eventually came out of that was four sustained complaints out of 24 made, and several of those were for excessive force, which is a very serious complaint. We need automatic independent investigation of all excessive force complaints. We need speedy automatic independent investigation, and we need public hearings. And we haven't, of course, ever had a public hearing on any police complaint about a police officer's behavior. That's something we need. In essence, we need a new body, really. We need the community to take action, and hopefully, if enough people are interested, hey, give a call to 423-HUFF. We'll try to put together a group to do that. 423-4833. HUFF is Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, an organization I work with concerned to a large extent with civil rights for homeless people, but also concerned with civil rights for everybody, because that's one of the reasons that people who are poor, people who are on the streets, particularly get my attention, because I think when they go after their rights, it's not too long before they go after our rights. That's been my concern, and I think it's not an unwarranted one. However, yesterday, as promised, as I promised people yesterday, I was at the Bush Inauctional, as some would call it. Some would call it the inaugural. That's, quote, President, unquote, Bush's inauguration, of course, happened yesterday. And there was a spirited protest, some of which I was not there for. I was sort of running around making flyers, which I finally got to the protest, which began, I guess, well, Art and Revolution began way out in the up in the Kinko's parking lot and marched down to, I guess, the town clock area, and then people marched to the county building. But the incident that I ran into when I was finally made it to the scene and in front of the post office down there in the Vets Hall, Espresso Royale area down there at the head of the mall, or is it the foot of the mall? I never know which, right across from the town clock, is a scene where a crowd had gathered because a man in a white truck had apparently hit a bicyclist. And I took several accounts of it, including the perpetrator, a man named Joe Gutierrez, as well as several witnesses. Now, unfortunately, my tape recorder was a defective one. I had a bad tape recorder with me, and so I couldn't get a good continuous tape. And I've had to select out of that. I've tried to make them continuous selections, so it's not censored in terms of content, but some of the quality of the tape is so bad that it doesn't really bear broadcasting, and something I don't want to do. But I did promise that I would play this for those of you who were at that protest yesterday or those of you who heard about it, and I am going to play it, what I've got of it. And for those who want to have access to the original tape, I will be happy to provide that access. 423-HUFF, 423-4833 is the number to call on that. And also, if you want to talk about this issue on the air, if you were present, let's say, you certainly are, you know, entitled to give a call. Or if you weren't present, if you just have thoughts on the subject, please, the phone in number here at our studio is 427-3772, 427-FRSC, Free Radio Santa Cruz. So let's hear some of the witnesses involved in this case, and or some of the spectators, and it's by no means a complete picture of what happened, so if anybody wants to call in and fill in the details, please do so. This is simply sort of a work in progress, if you will. And in a way, it was a diversion. The main purpose of the protest for the protesters was, of course, to expose the Bush hail to the thief sort of thing, the Bush inauguration and the election of a man who got less than a majority of the popular vote. My purpose in being at the protest was to distribute a flyer about Emperor Tim Fitzmaurice. So while everybody is united in a big love feast against Bush, big deal, I'm concerned that people turn up the spotlight on our local emperor, Tim Fitzmaurice, who is engaging in not just ignoring key issues around the homeless, not just providing not one extra inch of shelter for homeless people this winter, keeping it a crime for homeless people to sleep outside,
even in areas that are distant from residences and businesses, taking no action whatsoever to decriminalize homeless people in a situation where there really is an emergency situation. 41 deaths last year or more. That was the number of names read at the Homeless Services Center. And Fitzmaurice instead goes after activists like myself, Becky Johnson, Bernard Klitzner, and others at City Council that he doesn't like, shutting down their mics, refusing to indicate when public comment time is on key issues of the City Council agenda, and then actually getting a court injunction. Actually, it was Anna Brooks, his administrative assistant, who got the court injunction. However, his city attorney was the one who drew it up, and his police department are the people that served this injunction, which was granted free to her but cost us, the victims, $200 each. Anyway, Fitzmaurice's policies were my target when I went to this protest. So I'm going to give you the skivvy on this little accident that happened on the way for those who, you know, are interested in it. But my main focus for the purposes of this show, we're concerned with the rights of people, poor people on the streets, is how Tim Fitzmaurice's policies and the policies of our city council and our board of supervisors, Marty Wormhout et al., affect those folks. And that's the real issue. But let's deal with this, the other issue for the moment. This is what happened yesterday, a part of it anyway. This is some perspectives on what happened when a man on a bicycle got hit by a man in a truck.
Okay, around 1 o'clock. We're in front of Zockel. He's talking to
Ryan.
Yeah.
Chris.
Sure.
A white truck hit a bicyclist that was sitting there protesting.
One more time. You saw?
We saw a white truck and like some. He did hit a biker, like a bicyclist, and he like tried to drive away. The crowd swarmed in, stopped them, and there was a citizen's arrest.
And he tried to turn a peaceful protest into a riot so that the police would have an excuse to come in and break out their gas.
How was this arrest facilitated peacefully?
It wasn't facilitated peacefully.
The crowds encircling the car,
it was
so
somebody
didn't try
that
to get away.
By the cops to go in and disrupt the peaceful demonstration and turn it into like a non-peaceful demonstration.
Did you
so
see
they would have an excuse?
Did you see this process of hiring, or are you speculating on this?
I'm speculating on this, but I'm 99% right, because okay. I've dealt with the WTO and like protests and.
It looked to you like that.
Yeah.
It was a setup.
Yeah. How long did this whole process take?
It's still
2 minutes.
Right.
Still happening.
I better hustle up there.
Okay, just
now, these were people that I ran into at in front of Zockley's on Pacific Avenue, apparently moments or minutes, just a few minutes after this incident occurred. So I hustled down another half block to the Veterans Hall post office area, where there was a crowd of people in the street, and began interviewing people. And the first person I talked to a couple of people, and again, as you can hear, the tape recording is garbled. The tape recorder tends to stop unless you're squeezing it tightly, and that I was able to do sometimes, and other times it stopped. It's not in any way a conscious attempt to change any of the words anybody said, but it is certainly a defective recording. But large stretches of it are usable, and I'm going to continue to play those. And here comes now the, I believe we have the individual who was the driver of the truck, Joe Gutierrez.
Have an ambulance apparently going through the crowd to check out this citizen's arrest that's going on at the town clock, where a citizen's arrest was made. As
and it actually wasn't at the town clock. It was apparently the very top of Pacific Avenue, right as you go into the post office area, a little bit right there when you would turn off of Mission and Water Streets.
Protesters surrounded a vehicle. Hope our tape recorder is catching this. I'm approaching the town clock, the post office area. Fire truck has arrived, as has the paramedics. There's a fairly large crowd on the corner of the post office, and the white vehicle is surrounded. The man here is being taken out of the vehicle. He's stepping out of the vehicle now. Can you tell me what happened here, sir?
Huh?
What happened here?
He hit a bicyclist on purpose. Yeah.
This is a man in a white car?
Away.
And you saw this?
Yeah. Yeah, we were there.
And actually, this voice, of course, is not the
Joe Gutierrez. It's another man I was watching. Again, I think I may have gotten his name, but it may have been lost in the garble. But I think we are now coming into Joe Gutierrez, the actual owner of the truck or driver of the truck.
Thank you very much.
It's like a road race.
People here in front of the post office. Sir, would you like to make a statement for Free Radio? What happened?
Well, I voted for Gore.
Right. And there was an incident involving a vehicle of some sort?
Yes.
What was that about? What happened? I wasn't here. I didn't see it.
Well, it's my understanding it's best not to make a statement at all.
Okay, but you feel, they're claiming that you intentionally hit this guy. You deny that.
Who you voted for is not an issue.
Absolutely deny it. I would never intentionally try and hit somebody.
And are you just downtown on business or?
Yes, it's 12:51. I'm trying to get to the bank before 1 o'clock, and I'm not going to make it.
So what happened after this bicycle incident occurred? Were you?
Well, fortunately, I was at the mercy of the mob because I had to stop since there was an accident, and the mob was merciful. They did not damage my vehicle, and they did not damage me. So,
the story I heard from a couple of other individuals was that you either inadvertently or intentionally, I guess some people thought it was intentionally, hit this bicyclist.
No, I was avoiding the car in front of me, trying to make a right turn, and I was accelerating and stopping at the same time as the reason my wheel squealed. It was not because I was trying to run the guy over. I was hitting the brakes while the car was still accelerating.
This was as you were coming down the hill from Mission, or you were...
No, I was stopped at the light because the people were crossing the street against the light.
Right.
And I had a green, and there were several cars in front of me. I decided the path of least resistance was to make a right turn. Mm-hmm. And the guy with the bicyclist rode his bike in front of me when...
What was going through
I'm
your head?
Clearly he trying.
The gas over his bike
yeah,
after you
why went. Did you step on the gas so hard?
He was.
Why were your tires squealing?
Because I was stopping and accelerating at the same time.
So
my front wheels weren't rolling, my back wheels were squealing.
You were trying to go somewhere fast.
So you felt you were responding in a fashion to stop, was that the
yes,
idea?
Yes, absolutely, trying to stop. The guy rode his bike in front of me, I stopped as fast as I could.
And then why did you take off again then? Why was it hit and then go again?
Why did I take off?
Yeah. Why did you hit and then there was another crash and stuff? What was that? I don't understand why you're not being arrested for assault with deadly weapons. So I don't understand.
So your perception is that that's not what happened, that you in fact were...
No, I was avoiding any accident or confrontation the whole time. So I'm sorry, but, you know, that's the truth. I would never intentionally try and run the guy over.
Well, it looked like that.
Were you yelling at the bicyclist?
No, not at all. I wasn't yelling anything at anybody.
I was just staying still in the path until the path was clear. Why did you force your way through?
I didn't.
That's a pretty good question.
So, you're trying to get to the bank, and
exactly.
Now you're waiting for the police to deal with this matter.
Exactly. This is going to take quite a long time. Never in my wildest dreams would I have imagined this to happen.
Have you spoken to the bicyclist yet?
No, but I did, yeah.
And what did he want to
do? He's fine, but his bike is going to need to be fixed.
Did you exchange names with the bicyclist and phone numbers?
I think the police officer is taking care of that.
And your name is?
My name is Joe Gutierrez.
Any feelings one way or the other about the protest that when you started out this morning?
I voted for Gore.
Right. Would this make you pro, con, or in the middle?
I don't even know what you're protesting or why. All I know is that they were crossing the street against the light. And I was trying to avoid the crowd.
Right.
Are you going to help pay for the bicycle?
And do anything else I have to do to take if the guy's injured or whatever. But I didn't see any injury. He didn't claim any injury.
Can I get your age?
What are you?
Oh, I work for the Sentinel. I'm just covering the whole thing. So this happened, so it's part of it. So
Delsing. Reed Delsing.
And Reed, where were you standing?
I was standing on this side here, over here.
The post office,
and, yeah, and I saw the. All of a sudden, I heard a squeaking of his brakes,
right.
And I saw the bicycle underneath the car.
Right.
And I saw the guy coming out. His attitude. He was a total anger. Uh-huh. You know. So I knew that this was not by accident that this happened. And that's it, basically.
How far away were you from this?
A couple of meters over there, like half a lot. Right, I was standing by this car, more or less. But I was facing this, by the car over there, the green one in the back there, the van or whatever that's called
right
here.
The white
van.
Yeah.
That happened over there, or more or less where the arrow is in the middle of the street. That's
right.
more or less where he
so
stops.
It did happen on this side of the North Pacific, but the Civic Avenue.
Yeah, right here.
Okay.
Yeah, right where the police cars now over there. So I heard a tremendous squeaking, and I heard four
squad cars. But it took what 15 minutes for the police to get
a there? Long time, I thought, because the ambulance was here like in 5 minutes.
Right.
But the police took much longer to come here, much more, 15. Well, they're just all coming now, actually. But it was obviously an act of anger. I saw the guy coming out.
Now, did you hear him say anything?
No. I didn't hear him say anything. Well, when he was in the car, he was making all kinds of gestures. He was obviously upset about what had happened also.
Now, did you see?
And we stood in front of the car so that he could not go on, because he was trying to get away again. And that's when we blocked him off. I ran immediately over there and stood right in front of the car.
Now, could it have been possible that he was trying to get out of the street maybe so he could park? Or do you feel like he was actually trying to make a getaway?
It looked like a getaway.
I see.
His attitude, the whole thing.
Okay.
You know.
Did he say anything when he emerged from the vehicle? Did he emerge from the vehicle?
I didn't, but a lot of other people said things.
Did he say anything?
No, he was very subdued.
Yeah.
The same attitude he had now when I observed him from far away when he was talking to you.
Right.
Very polite, you know?
Uh-huh.
Fascist.
Yes. Uh-huh. So you believe this is politically motivated?
Oh, totally. Because he was trying to go, actually, since we were crossing the street over there, I think he was trying to go ahead. And then he turned to the right. And then he said that he had to get to go to a bank.
Yes.
Which is such an ironic thing. I mean, the reason why we are here, right, is to protest Bush's inauguration.
Right.
And the whole system that goes with it. So I think it's really ironic that a guy that does this kind of, has this kind of attitude and does this kind of thing has to get to the bank before the bank closes.
Right.
That's just, Anyway, I am not going to testify because I did not see him turn.
Uh-huh.
I just saw it. I heard a noise and I saw what happened when he was underneath there.
Right, and you saw what happened afterwards.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay. Any other comments that you would want to make?
The reason why I'm from Holland, that I'm at the university here, and I'm deeply upset about what is happening in this country. And I lived in Chile before. I was there during the military dictatorship of Pinochet. I worked for 20 years in Chile. I worked for 15 years with human rights issues. And coming here to this country to study, I think this is the basis of what a lot of what is happening in what has happened in Latin America during the years of the dictatorships in all these countries. It has something to do with this kind of mentality. I don't know. It was these kinds of governments that the American people are voting in without realizing what is happening in the rest of the world and not wanting to know. Bush hasn't even been across the border, apparently, once or twice. So, you know, I think it's all connected. And that's why I'm here, because I still feel the anger from the times we were on the streets fighting against Pinochet for many years. And every time when I see this kind of situation, just I feel I have to be here.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, talking to.
Okay, my name is Nadine Gassner. I was standing directly in front of the accident. The car came around the corner very fast. I saw the guy cursing and great anger on his face, the guy that was driving. He accelerated directly into the bicyclist and actually had to turn his wheels to run over the bike wheel. And I thought the guy's leg was going to be run over, but he moved away just in time. And it made me feel personally endangered. I'm really shaken up right now. And the little kids standing near me were crying for about 15, 20 minutes afterwards. It was extremely traumatic. And I hope that this individual realizes what he has done and tries to reassess his anger management when driving. And I think he should have his license removed permanently after seeing how he drives.
Amadine, where were you standing?
I was standing I was standing next to, when the car came to a stop, I was about 2 feet away from the driver's side front corner of the truck and could reach out and actually, I'm not sure, I think I was in the street. I was carrying a sign. Yeah, I was carrying a sign across the street going north. And I was about an arm's length away from the bicyclist who was lying on the ground.
Okay, and did you see the actual incident of hitting, or did you?
I saw the actual impact, and I was reaching over to see if I could grab the bicyclist to pull him out of the way, because I thought his leg was going to be run over it, and the guy was accelerating so fast, and he was actually turning his steering wheel like he was trying to directly impact and chase down the bicyclist. That was my perception, that he had the intent of hitting. I thought it was closed, and I could see him yelling, and his face was very contorted in anger.
And what happened then?
The bike wheel got run over and severely bent. The bicyclist scrambled out of the way and stood up, and I backed away from it towards the sidewalk facing it.
No, I just want to tell you that the cops, I followed up with them, and they will call you for an interview. So I just said, I want to make sure,
And you're also a witness?
I was pretty far away, and so I really can't tell you, but I was the person who, when he got out of the truck, people were angry, and so I just made sure that I diffused that energy so that he was safe.
Your name is?
Olivia Boyd-Zobel.
So,
my partner was standing next to me and also witnessed a very similar thing.
His name was?
Bill.
Bill?
Yeah.
And so how long did it take for the man to get out of the truck, the driver?
He continued driving away from the scene, and right over here, the crowd, he did not get out of the car immediately. The crowd surrounded him and stopped him. People are chasing him down, stopped his vehicle. It was like a hit-and-run situation. He could not proceed because people were surrounding the truck, and he finally got out of his truck and put his hands in the air, and it looked like people, were advancing on him, and then I think Olivia came and tried to cool the situation down. But he was about to leave the scene in the truck. He was not stopping after he'd seen the guy lying on the ground.
Did you walk around kind of following the truck, or did you stay with the bicyclist?
Stayed back with the bicyclist, backed out of the street, and I didn't follow the truck.
And how is the bicyclist? Have you gotten a report on him?
He's in shock. He's shaking. When I tried to give him my name and address, he couldn't get it together or write it down in a notepad, so I wrote it for him.
You know how you get to that point, a little intensity?
Yeah, it's about 1:30. We're at the corner of Water and River talking to
Susan Hamilton.
And Susan, you actually saw this truck incident, and you were a bit concerned that it was, from your perspective, an accident. You want to tell
me? Well, I didn't actually see the initial accident, but I was there right after it, and I was at the truck, the man's truck, who was supposedly had hit a little boy on a bike, a young man on a bike, I should say.
Right.
And they got him out of the car, and they started like coming towards him and like wanting to like really kind of rough him up a little, and then he tried to like talk back a little bit, and then it got to the point where the information was that he hit somebody on a bike, but it wasn't really one of the demonstrators. And it appeared to me like he'd done it because he was frustrated, wanted to get out of there fast, and was distracted and hit this person on a bike by mistake. And so I think it was an accident on his part. I don't think it was deliberate. And we got the demonstration out of there before the ambulance and the paramedics came. A few people wanted to really like become slightly violent with him, but the general group of demonstrators wanted to make it nonviolent, keep it nonviolent, and got everybody under control.
Thank you.
And that was what happened yesterday around 12:45. Started at in front, kind of between the post office and the town clock, and then I made my way over to the county building, which is where the major part of the Bush protest happened. We were listening to interviews around Joe Gutierrez's striking of a bicyclist and the different accounts of what happened, including Mr. Gutierrez's account himself. If you're tuned to Free Radio and you want to talk about this issue, now's the time to call in, 427-3772, particularly if you were a witness or not, as the case may be. Since we're talking about bicycles, in a way, I mean, that's the kind of one focus we can take on this. I also have received a number of calls about an incident that happened downtown the day before, Friday, I guess it would be the 19th, and Apparently in the afternoon, Sergeant Butchie Baker accosted a bicyclist, a woman named Jen Curry, and attempted to cite her for going the wrong way on Pacific Avenue. I think this incident happened at Cathcart and Pacific. She reportedly was, according to witnesses, the claim of the police was she was bicycling the wrong way up Pacific Avenue, which frequently happens, and is often there's kind of a, not a speed trap, but a bicycle trap sitting on Pacific Avenue. And I got a call from a man who had actually been gathering names of witnesses. He claimed he had seen Sergeant Butchie Baker actually slap this woman. Another witness claimed that she had seen Baker shake this woman. I was going to have some folks on the air today talking about this, but I think some folks are rather nervous about going public with this issue. So what I have here is an interview with a woman who saw part of the episode. This woman was eventually arrested, taken into custody, and then, through coincidence, I actually happened to talk to Sergeant Baker within an hour after this happened, not about this incident, but about something else. Baker told me that he wouldn't tell me what she was arrested for, claiming that that violated her privacy rights, though in fact, she apparently was shouting, "What am I being arrested for? What am I being arrested for?" So it wasn't like she wanted it kept a secret. Again, this is more, I'm afraid, police department double talk to conceal from the citizenry the nature of what's going on, to mystify it, to tell us to mind our own business and let them have essentially complete power in this area, which, of course, is very, very unwise for us to agree to that, but very tempting because police officers are armed with guns, truncheons, pepper spray, handcuffs and radios, and they are well funded by the city, which we're going to be talking about after we hear this segment of tape. We have in the studio with us police analyst Scott Graham. Hi, Scott.
Hey, Robert. How are you doing?
Are you also a fugitive from the police? Or
No, I'm just a bicycle rider that often ignores many of the traffic laws. I feel personally shouldn't apply to bicycles, although they should apply to motor vehicles.
Now, in other words, are you saying that you might have in fact done the same crime that this woman did, drive up Pacific Avenue the wrong way?
Well, I've learned to stay off Pacific because that's where most bicycle tickets are issued. Anywhere else in the city, you have to really blow it to get a bicycle ticket, but Pacific Avenue, they really target that area. And often, like you said, the police stand on corners waiting for bikes to come the wrong way or not stop at a stop sign and then just write out tickets.
Sort of a money machine. I guess they think they're going to get students who have a certain amount of money and can afford to pay these tickets.
Well, either students or a number of the people they stop are homeless people that happen to have bicycles. So they'll oftentimes check the serial numbers on people's bicycles if they appear to be homeless. They don't do it to people that don't appear to be homeless, but they check the serial numbers. If the bike comes back as stolen, the person's under arrest. And many times the police issue these tickets to homeless people in hopes that they'll not pay the ticket and then leave town because they have a warrant.
As is done, I think, also with sleeping ban tickets, jaywalking tickets. In the case of Steve Argue, we heard a similar ticket. Steve Argue, incidentally, is himself homeless, or at least he has been ever since he was released from jail. He may have gotten some accommodations now, but not only has he been homeless, but he's been a homeless activist concerned about the rights of the homeless. But getting back to the bicyclist, let's hear this report about what happened yesterday on Friday on Pacific Avenue around, I guess it was sometime between 2 and 4, and I'm hoping we can get more extensive accounts of this. If anybody out there knows anything about it, the call-in number for Free Radio, which is what you're tuned to, 96.3 FM, is 427-3772. And in fact, we have a call right now. Let's see what's up here.
Hi, you're on Free Radio.
Hello. I wanted to add a comment to the police habit of stalking cyclists. They do actually deliberately go after people that they know aren't homeless, but they're poor people nonetheless. And I'm going to share one example. I have a friend who lives on Ocean Street toward the river mouth, or what the city calls the lower ocean. She's mother of four kids. She's probably my age, half a century old. The cops gave her a ticket when she came out of her front yard. And so, of course, the sidewalk that she had to mount her bike on was on the wrong side of the street. In fact, there's very little sidewalk or parking there at that part of Ocean Street. They've squeezed three lanes into a space big enough for two lanes. So they told her the excuse they had to give her this ticket for her bicycle, which is her only transportation to run this household, was because she was going the wrong way and it could endanger traffic, you know. But they were sitting out there looking for people that were doing that. She had to go to court. She was at risk of getting a warrant, everything, just like they treat homeless people. And they knew she had no money.
Wow.
Can you believe that they ambush you in front of your own house?
Not our police department, surely.
To give you a ticket. So, and I know, like Scott was saying, it's not about making money. They're going for people they know don't have money.
Well, that's a serious charge if it's true. It would indicate that the police department has some sort of entrenched hostility, one might even say a conspiracy to harass a certain class of people. But
definitely a conspiracy. I don't know if their motives are harassment or they just throw that in for their own personal joy.
Why would they possibly have an interest in harassing the poor people of Santa Cruz? Have you been taking too many drugs?
Well, that's two questions.
Yeah.
I'll answer the first one.
Good point.
I don't know. I mean, they harass people. You look at the people's lives. I guess it's because they don't want people to act like people or something. You know, they want to shut everybody up. I know of cases like you were talking about where people are literally stalked by cops until they run out of town or underground. That's the intent. It's very clear. It's hard to prove, you know, but you can see it happening if you know the people it's happened to.
Yeah, Scott here has a comment on that.
Well, I think they're systematically doing this. They've been doing it since the late 70s, actually, trying to drive people out of town. The police department and many of the people on the city staff hate the moniker that Santa Cruz has of being a hippie town, and they would like to see this come to an end.
Yeah. Yeah, they can't .com fast enough. I'll let you go. Thank you.
Thank you.
Phone lines are again open, 427-3772, and we're talking about a number of subjects. We're talking about the Fitzmaurice Imperial Emperorship of Tim Fitzmaurice. We're talking about bicycles and the police. We're talking about selective enforcement of the laws. We're talking about what you want to talk about here at 427-3772. Here is a witness to what happened to Jenny Curry on Friday. Down on Pacific Avenue. Let's hear her account.
January 20th, 2001, and around 25 to 6, I'm talking to... Who am I talking to?
Diana.
Hey, Diana. And, Diana, you apparently were downtown on Pacific Avenue yesterday?
Right.
What were you doing when you were downtown?
Oh, I was just walking around. Like, I just got back from New Leaf, and I was about to walk to the cafe to study.
Which cafe?
Progressive.
Uh-huh. And what happened to you as you began that walk?
I just saw a crowd gathering and a lot of screaming and commotion, and two police officers were, I just heard them screaming. They were kind of belligerent, and by the time I got to the scene, I saw them throwing, a girl had just been thrown into the back of a cop car, and I didn't actually see what had happened before that, but I heard the screaming, and I heard that there was some serious violence going on, and, the girl was in the back of the car screaming out her name, and we were trying to write down her name, like, so we could, you know, make a complaint or do something, because I've seen this behavior so much in this town before. This was not new at all, and it was really outrageous. So,
So you say that you've seen problems between the police and the citizenry before?
Oh, definitely, and I've actually been harassed by police officers in the past.
Now, are you, how old are you?
I'm 21.
And how long have you been in town?
I've been here for 2 years.
And what kind of, are you a student? Are you?
Yeah, I'm a student, and I'm white, which is usually something that wouldn't be harassed, but I am usually pretty active in protests and stuff, so that's one thing that would target me. I'm queer, that's another thing that would target me.
Right.
And I have lots of friends of color, which is another thing that makes me a target. So I feel like most of the police officers that I've come in contact with are actually white, and yesterday there was an exception, because I feel like, just like the most of the criminal justice system, the, you know, people that are not white are targeted, but yesterday there was a girl who was white, and there was an officer who appeared to be Chicana.
This was a woman?
No, Chicano. Do
you remember his name?
Baker.
You're talking about probably Sergeant Baker, sort of a chunky fellow with a mustache?
Correct.
And so you said that you heard some shouting as you were approaching. Where did all this incident take place?
It took place where that Cat and Canary place used to be.
The former Cat and Canary, Cathcart and Pacific, probably.
Right, yeah.
Was it on the sidewalk in front of the Cat and Canary?
Right, exactly, on the side of that.
And you saw how many, there was one squad car, two squad cars?
It wasn't the cars. I saw the one squad car, and I think there were other ones down the block, but two officers who ran to help Baker, this Baker who's the main asshole here. So the two other ones that were helping him were a man and a woman. No, two men and a woman. So there were three other people.
Two men and a woman?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And they seemed to just be sort of, like, at the scene.
And how large was the crowd?
What's that?
How large was the crowd?
Not very big, actually. I mean, there was definitely a crowd of people that just sort of stopped and would move on. But there were probably eight of us who were, like, trying to take down information and kind of calm the police officers down. There was a woman who was really, really anxious, but she was older, and she was just, like, screaming and just, like, being like, you know, you fuckers, like, just, like, being really, like, verbally, like, you know, angry,
uh-huh.
Which definitely she was justified, but it wasn't very productive.
So did you catch the phone number of the person who was being arrested?
No, I was trying to get her phone number. We were asking her for her name, and we finally wrote her name down.
And her name was?
Her name was Jen Curry.
Uh-huh. And you didn't recognize her?
No, I didn't.
Do you know, did she have any friends in the crowd that you knew of who knew her? Or?
No, not at all.
And did you catch any or all of her phone number?
No.
Did she seem, was she intoxicated?
No, not at all.
How was she dressed?
She was dressed like, just like a normal, she looked like a college student. She was a bike rider. She was riding her bike on the wrong side of the street, apparently. That's the story I heard.
Going up the one-way Pacific Avenue.
Right.
And what happened to her bike?
They were throwing it in the back of the squad vehicle.
By throwing it, you actually mean throwing it or placing it?
Throwing.
And what about her? Did they throw or place her?
Well, I had already gotten there right as she had been apparently thrown into the vehicle, but she was handcuffed, and I just saw her in the back of the vehicle at that point, and she was very scared, and
did she say why she'd been arrested?
Yeah, she was saying that she had been arrested. She said that they stopped her for riding her bike on the wrong side of the street. They asked her what her name was and what was going on, and she was like, oh, you know, I'm sorry, I won't do it again. And they're like, well, can I have your ID? And she didn't have any ID on her, so they apparently arrested her as a result of not having ID.
Huh. Do you know, did you see her later today? Was she released, or was she...
Oh, I haven't heard since. I was going to go to the police station to file a report, and then somehow our group got kind of disconnected, and then two other folks ended up going, and I ended up leaving. I was going to call today or tomorrow and find out what had happened and what else I could do for her.
Right. Well, you can, of course, go down to the police review board on Monday and file a complaint. You might be good to hold a press conference with her about what happened.
Yeah, totally.
Do you have the names and numbers of other people who were there?
I actually don't, but there was another man and woman who had ended up following through with this yesterday,
mm-hmm.
And they got everyone's phone number.
No, that's good. You happen to know their name?
No, but whoever gave you my number probably.
Right. Eric actually was the fellow who did.
Yeah, that was probably him.
But he only had your name and that of one other person, so.
Really?
Uh-huh. Okay, well, I'm glad you stopped to witness this event. I work with a group called SPAN, Stop Police Abuse Now, sort of an on-again, off-again group, and I'm concerned about police misconduct. This is being broadcast over Free Radio Santa Cruz. In the event that you don't make it down to the station, I know we're going to try to get you to come in and talk on the air if you want. I want to thank you for, you know, doing this kind of civic-minded stuff, which is to let the police know that they are being observed in terms of what they're doing. They have to not engage in excessive force or unreasonable arrests or discriminatory practices or abusive behavior, all of which, of course, in many cases seems to be something that some of them do engage in.
Right.
So,
it was actually interesting. Can I tell you the end of...
Please, tell me. Use your own words.
At the very end of the situation, we walked back and the two other police officers approached us, the ones that Baker drove away with this man in the back. And I've actually heard a lot...
Man in the back or a woman in the back?
Baker drove away with the woman in the back. Did I say man in the back? Yeah, and the other two police officers approached us at the end, and they were like, so did you get all of the information you needed? And they were trying to be really helpful, but one of them was so unbelievably nervous, and we were just like, and he's like, yeah, you have a right to, find out everything's wrong. We didn't do anything wrong at all, and he was like just so unbelievably defensive, and he was just like, we don't even know really what happened. We just got a call from Baker, and we ran to the scene. So we don't even know if anything bad happened, but we don't think Baker would do anything bad. So it obviously sounded to me like they were, being completely defensive. They had really no reason to be defensive if they felt like nothing bad had happened. So
do you know the names of these officers?
I have them written down somewhere, but I don't have them.
Maybe tomorrow, if you're on the air, you can talk about that.
Yeah. Okay.
Baker, as you may or may not know, had at least 9, and probably more complaints filed against him for sexually molesting women and improperly searching them in 1992.
Whoa! I really did not know that. I'm really not surprised.
This was a cause célèbre. Baker was cleared by a grand jury, by the police department, and I think by the DA or maybe by some other official group. City Council's committee to investigate him, which had been formed because so many people demanded it, faded away the minute the city manager returned to town, and Baker was declared Officer of the Year and promoted.
Oh, my God.
So that's the history of Butchie Baker back in 1992. I actually spoke with him several times today about other matters because I run into him on other occasions on other deals where I've been a suspect in a crime, to wit, exercising First Amendment rights at City Hall to end the sleeping ban. That's been my deal.
Wow.
So, yeah, I'm glad you raised that. And anything more that you think you might want to talk about?
Yeah, definitely. Can I get your name one more time?
Sure, I'm Robert Norris.
And who are you? Give us a call. It's 3427-3772 to get our studio line here. We're here with our cop watcher, Scott Graham, who's also a fanatic bicyclist and also apparently a pretty good mechanic, but that's another story. Scott, you've been listening to all this. Any comments on what you've heard, either in terms of the incident yesterday or the one on Friday with Butchie Baker?
Well, the one thing that it brings to mind is that on Tuesday's City Council agenda at 3 o'clock session, item number 22 is a grant that the city is applying for to the Office of Traffic Safety. It's a state grant. And what they're going to do, they're asking for over $500,000. It's in grant money. And it's supposed to be for the to make it safer for bicycle riders to ride in Santa Cruz. But actually what this grant money, if you look at this thing, what this grant money is going to be primarily used for is hiring 3 new cops, 1 full sworn officer and 2 CSOs to basically crack down on bicycle riders. There's nothing in here about what they're going to do anything to the car drivers out there that are constantly menacing bicycle riders.
As witnessed by this incident,
and also
yesterday,
by just the fact that while I'm riding my bicycle around town, there's constantly people driving in the car, their cars in the bike lane, people stopping in the bike lane. They'll pass me. People will go drive past me, must not see me, pull over and stop in the bike lane when there's signs right there saying "Do not stop, bike lane," and people just ignore the fact that there's a bicycle rider there. And there's nothing in any of this money to do anything about the cars. The cars are the killers here. Cars are killing pedestrians. They're killing bicycle riders. They're killing other people in cars. I don't know when the last time was that a bicycle actually killed anybody when it wasn't involved with a car.
Well, it's certainly killing the profits of some of the companies. I mean, haven't you got any concern about the people who are building these parking lots? And we need cars to fill the parking lots, Scott.
Right. Well, that's, you know, that's another insane example of just how much we worship cars in this society, that we're willing to spend lucrative amounts of money. The cost overruns in the SoCal Front Street garage were enormous, and they still haven't got the whole thing open yet. And it's just insane that the city is spending millions and millions of dollars to park cars when things for cars like widening freeways, all this kind of stuff, doesn't work. It's been proven over and over again. The bigger you make the roads, the more people will drive. Instead of making the roads safer as they are, which would probably help tremendously, instead of, you know, making what we have now safer, they're going to just make it so more and more cars can fill our streets and fill our parking lots. And instead of going after these lunatic car drivers that are running down bicyclists, the police and the city council are going to go after the bicycle riders.
According to the Sentinel today, Mr. Gutierrez, the man who struck the bicyclist, was neither arrested. It wasn't clear whether he was cited, but he was not arrested for hitting this guy.
Right. In some countries like Japan, if you hit a bicycle rider, you immediately go to jail and lose your license. There is no question. Even if it's not your fault, you go to jail till they figure it out. You don't just, oh, well, it wasn't your fault, we'll let you go. They take you to jail and they pull your license till it's proven that it wasn't your fault in Japan.
Well, in the United States, we kind of have our own equivalent of that. If you smoke a joint, they pull your license.
Yeah, and steal your car,
well,
you know.
Yeah, they need to, you know, keep funding those police departments. And I guess that's a point you were making to me before broadcast, Scott, is that this thing, which in the first year is, I guess, gravy from the federal government, the second year, the city has to pay for half of it, and in the years after, these cop positions will be fully funded out of our local taxes, right?
Right, yeah. Out of this grant money that they're getting $570,000. $300,000 of that is to pay for these cops. And like you said, the first year, it's fully funded. The positions for the police department are fully funded. The second year, half of the grant money funds this. The third year, the city has to cover the whole cost. The problem with this is that 2 years ago at the budget hearings and also last year, the city council told the chief of police to stop getting these kind of police grants, that he didn't want, they did not want the chief of police to, because what happens with these grants is if the city doesn't continue to fund these officer positions that were created by the grant into the future, then they can't apply for any more grants. So every time we get these grants, then we're stuck with paying for this position forever, basically, if we ever want to get any more police grants. And under this scenario, we're talking the city is going to forever have to pay this $120,000 a year or more. Actually, it turns out to be $150,000 a year that the city's going to have to continually pay for these three positions. And probably, as time goes on, the cost of these positions will go up, you know, as the person earns rank or the cost of living goes up, and so their wages get adjusted. So this is costing people a lot of money, and it's, to me, misguided. What we need here in Santa Cruz is a comprehensive system like they have in Germany, like they have in France, where there is a separate set of traffic laws for bicycles and there's a separate set of traffic laws for motor vehicles. And when you come to an intersection in Paris, there are two lights. There's a light there for bicycle riders, there's a light there for cars. The bike riders get to leave about 30 seconds before the cars do, because most of the pollution that cars put out, they put out in the first 30 seconds of acceleration. So if the bike riders can get beyond that point before the cars start accelerating, that means the bike riders aren't hazarding their health because of the poor air quality of riding next to cars. So what we really need here is a comprehensive system that's based on these European models. Instead of just saying, okay, we're going to lump bicycles with cars and we're going to enforce all these laws on bicycles that don't make sense of enforcing on bicycles, but we're going to do it anyway, you know. And as far as Pacific Garden Mall goes, there's been people for years talking about why not make it two-way traffic for bicycles on the mall. What's the big problem here? The city has refused to even put a bike lane going in the direction the traffic goes. The mall has no...
Hi, you're on free radio.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good.
Well, we've got plenty of, Green Party members on the council. Seems like they ought to be able to talk to the police. And instead of growing the police department, maybe we can get our city council to use this money effectively in like that model of the French. I think that's fantastic, you know, if they even think of things like that. And it's true, it's true in Japan, they just lose their license. Get a DUI, you lose your license. And, you know, they're pretty hard on you in certain areas like that. But I here they're going to, just like he says, they're going to grow it so they're just going to grow the police department, and they're going to fit them in wherever they want,
you know what,
and they'll have more statistics that they'll fill out another book that says that they have, that they put all their bike statistics in and apply that towards the grant is all.
You know, caller, I know that you were involved with the Homeless Issues Task Force, and I kind of see a throwback to what happened there, where the city council under Mayor Sugar and indeed then Vice Mayor Tim Fitzmaurice ignored every single recommendation that came out of that Homeless Issues Task Force, except they added police positions like Officer Seeley, or is he Sergeant Seeley now? I'm not sure. The officer for the Homeless Services Center, the officer who was supposed to be involved in policing the safe sleeping zones that suddenly disappeared when Plantronics and Texas Instruments objected. I guess what I'd be concerned about is I'd like to see people calling in, expressing their concern that this item 23 or 22 on the City Council afternoon agenda be postponed and looked at, maybe get some input from bicycle organizations as to whether they actually want this thing to, this huge amount of money, you know, to be spent. Couldn't it be better spent on other things more directly connected with bicycle safety? What's your view, caller?
Well, sure, like, yeah, precisely, you know, just like... I forgot his name, the guy, man with you, I know.
Scott Graham.
Yeah, Scott. Mm-hmm. Just like Scott was talking about, there's a lot of ways, you know, to enhance the bicycles, safety around here. And that would be, like, for instance, having someone watch for a car that's doing something wrong at a corner towards a bicycle, because all you have to do is ride a bicycle to every corner and try to go straight, and there's someone turning right that's, you know, disobeying the law, you know, actually in the car that's disobeying the law. Sometimes they'll even holler at you, and then it's like, you know, I've got the book, you know, the big book, the green book, the handbook. I know what the laws are. I just got asked a question and it sidetracked me. Sure, they could have the police watch, but they're not going to do that. They're going to apply it to the easiest one. It's a lot easier to catch someone on a bicycle.
Give a call to 420-5017, which is the council hotline for all you folks out there, 420-5017, and say, regarding item 22 coming up in the council agenda, don't immediately give this money to the...
Let's have a public hearing.
Let's have a public hearing on the issue instead of simply handing over $500,000 to the police department that the city's going to have to pay for when year three rolls around.
I'm surprised this isn't an issue with the Green Party membership here in town, and they aren't already down there ready, prepared to speak about it. So they don't have anything in the newspaper about it or against it. It's really an absurd deal. The people that want to be on the Green Party here, they just are just choosing some other more popular party to be affiliated with to try to get elected, and that's all that's about. You know, it's no different from...
Greenwashing.
Yeah, right. Exactly. They're really hacking me. In Germany, I don't think anyone that's in the Green Party would even be accepted to talk at a meeting. They'd just say, y'all just be quiet and listen for a couple of years.
What I've been concerned about is that our mayor, or our emperor, as I was calling him yesterday in my flyer, which I distributed about during the Bush protests, Emperor Fitzmaurice, he has consistently, and I guess, I mean, I don't know what his position has been on bicycles, and Scott can give us more details on how bicycle-friendly Mayor Fitzmaurice is. I know he's on the Transportation Commission. He was beefing yesterday about how the conservatives in the county had thrown off the city council members off the Transportation Commission, and I suppose I don't support that particularly because, you know, any bone that you can grab out of a bad, you know, a bad stew, I guess, is better than no bone at all. But I know that Fitzmaurice's behavior toward homeless people, and I kind of go back to that because that's what this show is really about,
right.
Rights of homeless and poor people, has been pretty bad. I mean, he's sided with Catherine Byers in not taking any action to end the sleeping ban a couple of years ago when Crone and Sugar showed a little backbone and actually tried to put the sleeping ban on hold during the winter of 1998-99. Did he support cops on campus? I don't remember. I think he did. I know
He didn't want guns.
He didn't want guns, but he wanted cops, according to Scott. I know at the very last minute he opposed this absurd shoulder tap law. He initially it was only Crone alone, but then I guess Sugar and Fitzmaurice joined Crone in the final reading, but too late to make the important difference. And of course, I've been having a lot of trouble with Mayor Fitzmaurice because of his selective harassment of activists at City Council around the sleeping ban and around the City Council coffee clutch, which, by the way, for all you out there who have community TV, Club Cruise will be doing two shows, 7 o'clock Tuesday and Thursday, in which I and my co-conspirator Becky Johnson will be talking about this infamous criminal conspiracy to lobby the City Council for basic rights for homeless people, that is repeal of the sleeping ban, and we are now, of course, going to be going to court on January 31st on that issue. And if you want to hear the whole thing, just tune in Tuesday at 7 o'clock or Thursday at 7 o'clock on Channel 27. Thank you for letting me make that commercial in the middle of your time there, caller. Anything more you want to say?
No, it's all right. My grandkids just got here. Fitzmaurice, I don't even know what you're talking about him. He was the guy that was instrumental in even running some homeless people out of their encampment, he and his wife in particular. He's a phony, just like a lot of them are. I think the police and the courts here, you know, it's just like prison system. It's a growing business and it's a money making proposition, and I think the city manager is the big problem here too, not just the city attorney, but the city manager is a major problem, and I don't see the council doing any acting other than following directions from the city manager and the police department, both, and the courts.
Well, it's a gloomy scene, but in the meantime, everybody out there, call 420-5017 and tell them public hearing on item number 22, the police department giveaway supposedly to help bicyclists. Let's get some real help for bicyclists.
Okay.
Thanks, caller.
Thank you.
What do you think, Scott? Is Dick Wilson the problem, or is he just an innocent... Whoops, here's another phone call.
Well, Dick Wilson is part of the problem. I mean, he's the one that okays these grants that the various departments to go after a certain grant, you know, to spend staff time to go for a grant. Okay, here comes a call.
Hey, caller. You're on the air.
Hello, Robert. How you doing?
I'm good.
And you may know who this is.
It sounds to me like that criminal street spirit vendor who apparently is violating the law every minute, according to George Kovacevic. Bud.
Not that one.
Oh, okay. Well,
this is the other one.
Oh, okay. Well, then what's up, Mr. Caller? Give us your latest thoughts.
Actually, this is Bud.
I knew it was Bud.
Actually, I want to say a couple of things. I think like about Tuesday or Wednesday early morning, just this past week, like about 8 o'clock in the morning,
right.
I was walking through the courtyard where that Oswald restaurant is.
Okay.
And there's this homeless guy that walks around town that I always notice, and I never do say nothing to him. He always carries a blanket around with him. He always has his hat over his eyes.
Well, you know, that's illegal after 11 o'clock at night. I think you better have him arrested.
No, this is in the morning. This is 8 o'clock
in the
morning.
Well, as long as he has a watch with him at all times. Go ahead.
And he was just sitting there, wouldn't bother nobody as I was coming through, because I was on my way to Lulu's Carpenter for some coffee. And as I was coming through the courtyard, I see these two Santa Cruz police officers coming up to him, harassing him for whatever it was. I do not know, because they got to him before I got there. And why
do you say they were harassing him, Bud?
Well, because he was sitting there, he wouldn't bother nobody. There was nobody around.
Did you hear what they were talking about, or?
No, I got there just a few minutes, a little bit too late.
So you saw him, you saw them conversing with him in a manner that you didn't think was very friendly, or?
Actually, I thought it was belligerent.
Belligerent?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So they took his blanket.
They took his blanket.
And they walked him to where the parking lot is. And what I overheard when one of the cops says that if we don't find nothing on you, then we'll let you go. Which is ridiculous. If the man ain't doing nothing, they shouldn't even be picking on the man no how.
Well, did he get his blanket back?
I don't know. I haven't seen him ever since after that.
How long did you do? You kept walking, I guess. You didn't stay.
I just kept walking.
Well, next time, stop and watch there, Bud, if you can.
Something else I noticed last night.
Right.
I was outside of Streetlight Record Music to sell my Street Spirit papers.
Right.
And I happened to turn my head, and right over by the Metro Center where they locked the bicycles up at, there's one black guy, looks like he may be homeless, I'm not sure. He was standing up against the wall, and these two white guys, they jumped the wall from behind him.
Right.
And they beating the man down, kicking him.
Really?
Yeah.
Sounds like one of those Nazi skinhead deals.
And the guys on the ground, they're just kicking him and kicking him. So by the time they start kicking him and they walks away, I went over across the street to see if the guy was okay.
Uh-huh.
And a few other people had noticed just standing there.
Did you get the guy's name?
No.